Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Nehemiah Perek Vav. While we explored some of the internal problems of deaths and slavery among Jews in the last perek, we return to our familiar enemies trying to interfere with the completion of the wall in this perek. The first pasuk opens with an update about the progress. Everything was completed except for the doors and the gates. This eminent completion disturbed the enemies, Tovia, Sanballat, and Geshem the Erev, to the extent that they felt it was time for drastic measures, as alluded to in Perek Bet. Vayishlach Sanballat v'Geshem Elai lemor lecha b'nivada yachdav b'kfirim b'vikat ono v'hema choshvim lasot li ra'a. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, "Come and let us meet together in Kfirim, in the valley of Ono," and they were plotting to do me harm. Mitzudat David explains that Nehemiah was able to discern that this was an assassination plot. Malbim notes that the place Kfirim was a place mentioned in Sefer Yehoshua as Kfira in the tribal land of Binyamin. Nehemiah's response is short and to the point. Ve'eshlecha alehem malachim lemor malacha gdola aniosa ve'lo ucha laredit lama tishbat hamalacha kasher arpeha ve'oradeti alehem. And I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing great work and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop when I leave it and come down to you?" He clearly had no intent for these enemies to disrupt his progress, and he refused to give them the satisfaction of showing them they had any impact on his work. After four more attempts to set up a meeting, Sanballat tries a new tactic. Perhaps he can get a reaction from Nehemiah if he is able to frame the situation as an international threat, not just local to Yerushalayim. He sends a letter with the following wording, as written in Psukim Vav and Zayin. Katuv ba, Bagoyim nishma v'gashmu omer, ata ve'ayodim choshvim limrod, al kein atavoneh ha'choma, ve'atahovelahem lamelech, kadvarim ha'ela. It was written in it, "It is heard among the nations, and Gashmu says that you and the Jews are plotting to rebel. Therefore, you are building the wall, and you are their king," according to these words. V'gam nevi'im ha'madata likro alecha b'Yerushalayim lemor melech b'Yehuda ve'ata yishama lamelech kadvarim ha'ela ve'ata lecha v'nivatsa yachdav. You have also set up speakers to call upon you in Yerushalayim, saying, "There is a king in Judea, and now it will be reported to the king according to these words. So let us come and take counsel together." Just as he deflected the same accusation from Sanballat at the end of Perek Bet, so too does he give it no heed here. The Malbim asks how Sanballat expected this ruse to have any impact, since everyone was aware that Nehemiah had come to Yerushalayim with explicit permission from the king to fortify the walls. He explains that Sanballat is adding the aspect of kingship to his fabricated accusation of rebellion. He even claims that Nehemiah set up speakers to declare his kingship. While speakers would be a legitimate interpretation of the Hebrew word nevi'im, as used here by Chabad.org, which is based on the commentary attributed to Rashi, most other translations use the more common definition of prophets. This adds a new twist to the accusation. Sanballat is claiming that Nehemiah hired false prophets to declare his eminent kingship. Even though it was well known that Nehemiah arrived under the authority of the king, these rumors were accusing him of wanting to declare himself king through a complicated ruse involving many other parties to bolster his claim. Even with the addition of this threat, Nehemiah is unfazed. He responds in Psukim Chet through Tet. Ve'ashlecha elav lemor, lo niya kadverim ha'ela asher ata omer, ki melibcha ata bodam. So I sent him saying, "Such as these words that you say never happened. You are inventing them from your heart. Ki chulam miyar imotanu lemor, yirpu yedehem min hamalacha ve'lo teasa, ve'ata chazek et yadai. For they all fear us, saying, 'Let their hands be slackened from the work, and let it not be done. And now strengthen my hands.'" He confronts them with the inherent contradiction in their words and actions. "How could you have acted as my enemy until now to keep us from our work, and now you seemingly want to strengthen us?" Nehemiah then takes action to clear his name by investigating the man associated with the so-called prophecy that he will be king. In Pasuk Yud, we read that he pays a visit to the homebound Shmaya. Vani vati beit Shmaya ben Delaya ben Mehetavel v'hu atzur. V'yomer niva'ed el beit ha'elokim el toch ha'echal v'nizgarat daltot ha'echal ki ba'im lahargecha v'laila ba'im lahargecha. And I came to the house of Shmaya ben Delaya ben Mehetavel, and he was confined, and he said, let us meet in the house of God in the midst of the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to assassinate you. Tonight they are coming to assassinate you. Malbim explains that these instructions reveal that Shemaiah is indeed a false prophet who is in cahoots with Sanballat and his gang. If Nehemiah were truly to become king, why would his life be in danger? If it was a true prophecy, he would have reassured him that he would survive and fulfill the promise. Instead, he advises him to break the sanctity of the temple by entering as a non-Kohen. He realizes that Sanballat has hired Shemaiah to set up a pretext for accusing Nehemiah of rebelling against and trying to usurp the king. This is explicit in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Laman sachur hu laman yivra ve'asekein v'chatati ve'yalehem l'shem ra laman yicharfuni. For this he was hired, in order that I fear and do so and sin, so that they should have this for a scandal in order to reproach me. Pasuk Yud Dalet seems to speak of an additional false prophet involved in the scheme to frame Nehemiah. Zachra lokai l'tovia l'sanballat k'masaf eila. V'gam l'noadia ha'nevia v'liyeter ha'nevim asher hayu miyar imoti. Remember, my God, Tovia and Sanballat according to those their deeds. And also Noadia the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were frightening me. While there are some commentators, including that attributed to Rashi and Ibn Ezra, who say Noadia is an additional false prophetess, there are midrashim that claim Noadia was another name for Shemaiah, based on his use of the word Niva'ed, which means let us meet, in Pasuk Yud above, which has the same shoresh. Despite the dangers and distractions, the Jews managed to complete the construction of the wall in a mere 52 days on the 25th of Elul. This creates a marked shift in the behavior of the enemies, as seen in Pasuk Tetzayin. Vehi kasher sham'u kol oyvenu, v'yir'u kol hagoyim asher svivotenu, v'yiplu me'od be'neihem, v'yid'u ki me'et elokenu nasta hamalacha hazot. Now it came to pass, when all our enemies heard that, all the nations around us became frightened, and they felt very low in their own eyes, and they knew that this work had been performed by our God. Mitsudat and others explain that the swiftness of the completion, despite the threats, humbled the enemy nations and convinced them it was truly through divine providence. Unfortunately, the fear of the nations was not enough to allow Nehemiah to rest on his laurels. The enemy Tovia had many allies within the Jewish community who continued to harass Nehemiah and try to destroy his efforts. We will see how Nehemiah continued his watches and guardings described in Perek Dalet into the next Perek Zayin. The remaining psukim of our Perek describe Tovia's connections within the Jewish community and his familial relationships with important Jewish officers. Pasuk Yud Chet tells us, Ki rabim bihuda ba'alei shvualo, ki chatan hu l'shachanya ben arach, v'hochanan b'no lakach et bat mishulam ben berechya. For many in Judea were his confederates, for he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah ben Orach, and Yochanan's son had married the daughter Meshulam, the son of Berechia. If you remember when we first met Tovia in Perek Bet, he was referred to as an Ammonite, a non-Jew. The Gemara in Kiddushin 70a uses the initial introductory pasuk and our pasuk to show that Tovia was a non-Jew married to a Jew with illegitimate children. The Mishnah taught that Mamzerim were among those who ascended from Babylonia. The Gemara asks, from where do we derive this? The Gemara answers, as it is written, and Sanballat the Horonite and Tovia the servant, the Ammonite, heard, Nehemiah 2:19. And elsewhere it is written with regard to Tovia the Ammonite, for there were many in Judah sworn to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah the son of Arach, and his son Yehochanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, Nehemiah 6:18. The Gemara proceeds to explain, this Tana holds that in the case of a Gentile or a slave who engaged in sexual intercourse with a Jewish woman, the offspring is a mamzer. Since Tovia the Ammonite, a Gentile, married a Jewish woman, as did his son, there were clearly mamzerim among those who ascended. As seems to be the case in many generations, we are our own worst enemy. Even when our enemies are humbled and realize they cannot defeat us, our own compatriots continue to make our lives difficult. Nehemiah, as a clear-headed leader, always seems to remain steadfast and make reasoned decisions for how to proceed for the best of the people and the land.
This shiur is dedicated L'Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudas Bas Gedalyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.